Welcome to The Human Condition with Lisa Gregory. In many ways, it is an underappreciated instrument, the ukulele. Yet, in the right hands, it can become a magical instrument. Tim Sills of Hagerstown, Maryland, learned this firsthand when he was given a ukulele by his wife and children for his birthday. Already an accomplished guitarist who also plays the mandolin, fiddle, and auto harp, Tim now frequently performs with the ukulele, an instrument more readily associated with Hawaiian music and 60s icon Tiny Tim. But Tim Sills will tell you there is so much more to the ukulele, from its rich history to the joy it brings to those who play it and those who hear it. How did you come to be such a devoted ukulele player?
I played guitar for, since I was a teenager, probably around 15 years old. So 30, 40 years. And just about 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and kids, for my birthday, handed me this ukulele. And I thought it was, I like playing, you know, mandolin. I have a mandolin. I have different guitars, but I never even dreamed of playing the ukulele. And when they gave that to me, I remember thinking it was a strange gift because I never mentioned the ukulele at all. Well, I started playing it and learning a few songs on it, and I just something about the ukulele. I just fell in love with it. It is an amazing little instrument. So I still play guitar, but not as much. Ukulele is basically my main instrument now that I play.
You sound surprised that it brought you so much joy, that you seem to be so excited by it. I mean, you were not expecting were you?
I wasn't expecting that at all. When I started playing guitar, you know, I enjoyed that. Because when you start doing anything, take up any hobby, and you start, you know, you have a little success with it, it kind of, you get excited and you want to do it more and more. But something about that ukulele, I've never had that feeling before with any other instruments I've played. Of course, I love music and I love playing music on any string instrument that I can. But just something about that ukulele, you know, I learned one song and I couldn't wait to learn another one, you know.
What was do you remember the first song you learned?
It was a finger picking tune. Of course, I already knew with the guitar how to finger pick and strum and whatnot. So I learned a tune, Waltzing Matilda. That was the first tune I ever learned on it. I was like, wow, that sounds pretty good. So then I learned other songs after that. But it's a treat. It's hard to explain, Lisa, but it puts you in a good frame of mind, and mm-hmm. you're just at peace with the world when you're playing it.
But, you know, you said something I thought was really interesting. You said the ukulele is the underdog of musical instruments. want to explain what you mean by that a little bit?
Yes, you're right. It's kind of got a bad rap over the years. A lot of people kind of look down upon the ukulele. There's different types of ukuleles. You have your soprano, concert, tenor, and baritone ukulele. The soprano is a real small one, and people look at that as like, oh, that's just a toy, that's not a real instrument. However, you can play any genre of music out there on the ukulele. It's not just Hawaiian music. You can play classical, you can play blues, jazz, anything, any genre of music. But I go to a lot of these jams, and it seems like I never bring a ukulele to a bluegrass jam because the bluegrass musicians kind of look down their nose at the ukulele. I don't know what it is, but slowly, more and more, it's becoming, you know, they're accepting it. But then you have people like, Tiny Tim, he kind of brought it back mm-hmm. in the, you know, 60s. But, you know, he was kind of an oddball performer, although he was he was doing his own thing, but people looked at that and that kind of gave the ukulele a bad bad rap,
well,
too.
As far as his abilities, what would you say as a fellow ukulele player?
Yeah, he could play. He was a legitimate musician. He was legit.
Rookie.
He just had you know, those ways about him that people just were like, oh, boy, look at this guy, you know?
He was
good. He made a career out of it. I mean, he made a career out of playing music, so good for him.
And he brought the ukulele to the forefront a little bit, too. That doesn't hurt.
Ever since the ukulele has come to America back, I guess 1915, it's had its ups and downs with that, like anything else. But it seemed like back, you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, it was a popular instrument, especially for like ragtime music Tin Pan Alley music and this sort of music. It kind of went into the jazz genre a little bit. And then when the electric guitar became popular, along with the ukulele, acoustic guitars, mandolins, all acoustic instruments kind of fell by the wayside, you know, in the, I guess, 50s, 60s, and the electric guitars took over, and, you know, the electric music. But it's come back now, and there are some excellent musicians out there now that are playing. Well, even musicians that play other music play the ukulele, you know, Taylor Swift, and there's a lot of different musicians that you wouldn't associate with the ukulele, and they play it as well on some of their tracks.
Well, you know, I didn't know that about Taylor Swift. That's rather interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was, for me, it sort of gained a new respect. I guess it was in the 90s. I cannot say his last name, but he is from Hawaii. Israel, I think, is his first name, and he did a rendition of Over the Rainbow that really was popular.
Yes, that helped the ukulele boom, this current one that we're in. That helped a lot, too. And he could sing like an angel. He had a beautiful voice. He has passed away, but they called him Iz. I love listening to him, not only Over the Rainbow, but a lot of his music is really, really good. But that song became very popular. And even now, when I go out and play in public, I always include that song in my set. And it always gets attention, always. People always stop and say, oh, I love that song, you know.
It was so beautifully done. You know a lot about the ukulele. It's an instrument that comes from Hawaii, am I correct?
Well, that's everyone's perception, but, however, no, you are not correctly.
Okay, that's why we have you here today.
The ukulele actually came from Portugal back 1800s. They needed workers in Hawaii for the sugarcane fields. A lot of the Portuguese immigrants would travel to Hawaii to get work in the sugarcane fields. And along with all those people that came over from Portugal to Hawaii, there were three cabinet makers that were seeking work. They had to commit to a certain, 2 years working in the fields. But after that, these Portuguese cabinet makers started building furniture, and they also started making an instrument. Now, in Portugal, it was called a machete or a machete.
Hmm.
It was a small version of the guitar, and it had six strings. Well, they started making it with four strings, and the Hawaiian people fell in love with it. They had a king at that time. It was an independent nation, and they had the king at the time. He fell in love with the ukulele, and he started playing it. And of course, all the people in Hawaii, they loved the king, and so they started playing it, and it really took off in Hawaii. But that's where it came from. It came from Portugal, and the cabinet makers, those three gentlemen, they started making ukuleles, and the people from Hawaii, they just fell in love with it.
And it's so identified with Hawaii now, isn't it? I mean, they really have made it their own.
You're right. When it came to America, it came from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Pan Am Expo in San Francisco, and course, the makers that made the ukulele from Hawaii, they brought a lot of ukuleles to America to sell, you know, to show at that expo. And they, ukulele, you know, it did what it did does best. It just, people just fell in love with it, and it took off over here in America. And it went from West Coast to East Coast, and people just loved it.
Well, you were saying four strings. Am I correct on that? It has four strings?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make it an easier instrument to learn or to start out on, or for someone that isn't a naturally born musician, you know, is that a good instrument to start out with?
In my opinion, yes, because especially if you're a child and let's say you want to learn guitar, if you start on the ukulele is tuned different than a guitar. However, it's a smaller instrument. It's good for kids that way. It's smaller and it fits their small hands. And the strings are nylon, which are easier than the steel strings on a guitar. And it's again four strings, four fingers, four strings. It's easier to navigate on the fretboard on a ukulele. But it's very similar to a guitar. It's easy to make a transition from the ukulele to guitar. It would be a good instrument to start with, yeah. I kind of did it the opposite way.
Yeah, I was going to say,
guitar, and now I'm on ukulele.
You have some real favorites that you were telling me about that you really enjoy listening to. Could you tell our listeners if they want to check some of these musicians out? I think there's one in particular that you're quite fond of that does amazing things.
There are some people, you can look them up on YouTube, some musicians that do, you're right, they do amazing things on the ukulele. Jake Shimabukuro, he's from Hawaii, and he plays some amazing music. He plays Beatles songs, As My Guitar Gently Weeps. He plays that on as an instrumental version on the ukulele.
Was he the one that did Bohemian? Yes, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah.
No, that's right. Bohemian Rhapsody. And like I was saying before, you can play anything on the ukulele. And if you don't think you can, watch Jake Shimabukuro do Bohemian Rhapsody. It's unbelievable.
It's come a long way from Tiny Tim. Go ahead.
That's a way distance from Tiny Tim. But another gentleman from Canada, James Hill, he does amazing things on the ukulele. And there's so many of them. There's a guy named Little Rev. He plays some good blues and folk songs.
You were saying classical, jazz, blues. And the last time I spoke with you, you were really interested in classical jazz and what you were doing with the ukulele. Is that still something you're pursuing?
Yes, the classic jazz standards from like the 20s and 30s. I'm really into that type of music. Something about it, it's just really, I love the chord progressions, and you know, the more jazzy your chords, I guess as it diminished in the ninths and the 13th and all this, you know, you look at the chords, you think, oh, that's weird, but they're easy to play on the ukulele and they sound really good. So I really like playing the old jazz tunes. It works really well on the ukulele.
Well, didn't you say jam sessions really lend themselves to the ukulele?
The fourth Saturday of each month from 2 to 4, I hold a ukulele jam, and it's very informal. And a lot of people there are just starting out on the ukulele. And what we do is, you know, everyone brings songs that they like to play, you know, makes copies of them. And when you get there, you just pass out your songs, and you don't have to lead a song. You can, if you want, I'll start the song and sing it if you don't want to sing. But it's really good because everyone just sits around and plays. And if anyone has any questions, hey, how do you play this chord? You know, people stop and say, you know, show you how to play the chord. Or, you know, any questions on the ukulele, how do you do this kind of strum? And you can actually sit there and with people that know how to play and watch what they're doing and learn from them. And there are a lot of jams around. They're all over the place if you just go online and look them up. But there's quite a few in this area, ukulele jams.
So apparently, the impression I'm getting from you is, Tim, that there are a lot of closet ukulele enthusiasts or maybe players, enthusiasts, whatever, out there.
Oh, there are. There are a lot of people. And, you know, everyone who picks it up, they just get excited about playing it, and they want, you know, to learn more and more, and eventually they'll find a group of people that are like-minded. It's not hard to find in this area. Hmm. And, you know, you just get together with them, and you just spread the love, the good feelings when you're with everybody. So, I mean, it's a great thing. Once you really get into it, you start collecting ukuleles. It's not so much as something you intend to do, but one day, you know, you have one ukulele, and the next day you look at the wall, and there's like 3 or 4, 6, 7, 16, 20 of them hanging on the wall. A person who was really big on ukuleles was George Harrison from the Beatles. Hmm. And he would collect ukuleles, and he would hand them out to his friends. When his friends would come over to his house, they'd sit around and play ukulele. When they left, he'd say, here, take that with you.
Like a party favor. Wow, what a great story. So it really is a bringing together experience, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But this, I was just looking at this auction website, and there's one of George Harrison's ukuleles on here. And it's at the estimate, it's a $3,500 bid now, but the estimate is $15,000 to $30,000. This particular ukulele, the guy that owns it, George Harrison, gave it to him because he was working for him. I'm reading this story. He went to George Harrison's house to put up a Christmas tree back in 1999. And he was talking to George Harrison about buying his nephew a ukulele. And he said, next thing he knew, George Harrison came out playing this ukulele and handed it to him, said, hey, this would be a great one for you.
I guess he's like you and everybody else. He heard it, he played it, and he fell in love.
Yeah, yeah. He was really big with ukuleles, George Harrison. And you can see some on YouTube, some videos of him playing the ukulele.
You found this instrument and you love it dearly, and then you decided to take the show on the road. Why that, and why the ukulele?
Well, I probably would have taken it on the road if I just played guitar, but I had been thinking for a couple of years, you know, I want to do something with this, you know, besides sitting on my back porch strumming. So I said, you know what, I bet this would be a great thing for farmers markets. So mm-hmm. I started calling the farmers markets, the Hagerstown farmers market in particular, and she said, well, you called me at the right time because we were thinking about adding music. So I started playing there, and it just snowballed from there. I'm always looking for some place to play. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I see like the 4th of July at the Fairgrounds Park they had last year, I just called them up and said, hey, would you like some music? You know, if you don't have any music, they said, sure. I said, I'll just go there and play and, you know, just put a tip jar out, just play for tips. They were like, great. So I went there to the park and set up and played there. I just love playing for people, Lisa. It's just a great feeling.
Well, and they respond so strongly to what you're doing as well, and you really do spread joy. And I was just thinking when you were talking about the farmers markets, you also do assisted living facilities, don't you, for senior citizens? You want to talk about that
a little bit? Yes, I do. That's another. That's a blessing to me to do that. I feel like I'm giving back to the previous generation, you know, mm-hmm. Showing them respect. These old people, you know, they're in the assisted living facilities. They really can't go anywhere, and they have people that come in and play. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate to be able to do that from time to time at different facilities, and they just love it. The older people love it. I was at one facility over in Northern Virginia, and they had a dementia ward and then a ward for, you know, the people that weren't in such bad shape. But I went down to the dementia ward first and started playing. And boy, you should have, when up that strum, that first chord, and they heard that music, you could just see their eyes light up.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing. And one of the nurses say that music is one of the things that, you know, people always remember. It'll always, mm-hmm. it's in their mind. You know, they hear a song that they used to, listen to or used to sing years ago, and it just it just comes right back to them.
Well, now you talk about buskering. Am I saying that right? Or is it busking?
Were you busking?
Busking.
Yep.
Thank you.
B-U-S-K-I-N-G.
Thank
busking,
you.
Yeah.
And you do that sometimes in Hagerstown. And then you do that in Washington, D.C. sometimes. And that brings me to the point, what do you do in your other life, which is kind of interesting and cool, too?
Yeah, my real job, I would like to say playing ukulele, but no, my real job is I'm a locomotive engineer. I work on the MARC trains, which are the passenger trains here, and I work out of Martinsburg and get up early in the morning. We put people on the train, take them to D.C. Mostly they're government workers, and we take them down there to D.C., and then in between trips, they put us in a hotel, a layover, and the layover on the job I'm working is about 8 hours and 15 minutes. So we're in the hotel basically all day, and then in the evening we come back and load up the train and go back to Martinsburg. So it's one trip down in the morning, one trip back at night, but the daytime is pretty much free. So every now and then I'll take my stuff with me down to D.C. and go out, find a nice street corner somewhere, sit out and start playing, and, you know, just for tips. Where a lot of food trucks are set up, that's where I usually set up, because people come out for lunch and they like hearing music, and then, you know, or around the metro stations or somewhere like that where there's a lot of foot traffic. And yeah, I mean, I do it for tips, but I do it just for the love of playing music for people, really.
Spreading a little joy, right? Spreading a little joy.
Yeah, the people that walk by and give you a thumbs up, or you look to your right and you see two little kids over there dancing to your music. You know, people give you a nod and a smile, drop a dollar in your case. Oh, that's a great feeling. You know, you're connecting. You're connecting with complete strangers. It's an amazing thing to me.
Well, you know, when I observed you playing at the farmer's market, you're really all over the place, too. And you've already mentioned, you know, jazz, blues. Don't you also play in your church band, the ukulele?
Yes. On Sunday mornings, on the praise band at church, I play the ukulele there, too. So.
So you can really...
That's a blessing.
I bet. Well, and you know, it's true. You were talking about the Christmas music, and then you were telling me when I did the magazine article that at the jam session right before Halloween that you had a bunch of people on ukuleles. What was it, playing the Monster Mash? I would have paid good money to hear that, by the way.
On the October jam, we play all spooky music, you know, Halloween music.
For some reason, that really stayed in my memory. I don't know why. That made an impression on me. But you, as you play, you do take requests. And I was wondering if you could share the story of Baby Shark with our listeners. I think they'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah. Down in Frederick at a farmer's market, I was playing, and mom and dad with their little son there was watching me, and the little son walked up, got real close, and I said, "You want to sing?" He said, "Sure." So I took the mic down and handed it to him, and he started into this song, and I didn't know what it was, and he just kept going and going, and I was waiting for him to finish, you know, and he went, you know, right when he finished one verse, I'd go to take the mic, he'd start off with another one. And I was like, okay, let's wrap it up. And finally, the market manager, she had to come over and say, okay, that's enough. And everyone was kind of looking, what's this kid doing? But after the fact, we found out that he was singing the Baby Shark song. He wanted to seal the show with that thing. He wouldn't give the mic back.
And I heard from observers that you went right along with it. You were playing Baby Shark on the ukulele.
Yeah, I was at first. I was drumming along with him, and I'm like, okay, that's enough. And then he just kept going on. But yeah, I mean, just little things like that, little you know, that just it It's great. It's great. I loved it. And I mean,
I'm sure you did too.
It's little things like that just make it all worthwhile.
Do you have a favorite yourself that you especially enjoy playing?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a good one. Another one that I like playing that I recently learned is it's off of Disney. When You Wish Upon a Star off of Pinocchio.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I bet that sounds wonderful. Can you imagine not having gotten that ukulele as a gift from your family?
My life would be less if I didn't get it. That's probably, well, by far, hands down, that was the best gift I ever received.
I would like to thank my guests for joining me today on The Human Condition with Lisa Gregory. And thank you, the listener, for joining us today. If you would like to know more about the show, please visit my website at thehumancondition.com.